We start hour number two. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome, live in Southern California. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Again, my thanks to Lincoln Riley. He's done an incredible job at Oklahoma. An amazing job. You know, there was so much hype about him as an assistant, and almost no assistant lives up to the hype. This guy goes in and absolutely exceeds it. Not only do they not skip a beat, but he quickly builds upon and enhances that program. Absolutely amazing. So I want to double back to that. But we start hour number two by talking some Tampa Bay Rays baseball. We're joined by a starting pitcher for them. 7 innings and 2 runs in Tuesday's 4-2 win over Baltimore. He is out extremely quickly. 4-0, an ERA of 1.13, 24 strikeouts on the year. He's tied for the Major League lead in wins and winning percentage. He leads the American League in ERA. Tampa Bay is 14-4. They're in first in the AL East. They're at home against Baltimore tonight. That's a 7:10 p.m. Eastern start. Tyler Glasnow is my guest. Tyler, good to have you on. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you. So you're off to a huge start, as I mentioned. You've got 4 wins. You have allowed only 3 earned runs on the season. You're dominating. The team's in first place in the East. How is life for you right about now?
Good. I mean, it's a long season, so I think it's a good time to kind of step back and just realize, like, you know, I got like 28-plus starts left, so I'm just trying to, as cliche as it sounds, just definitely like take it one day at a time and not get too far ahead of myself and just keep on my routine.
All right, I understand that. Now, in your first 3 starts of the year, you allowed just that 1 earned run. Tuesday, Baltimore gets a few hits off you early on, and then you allowed just 1 hit in your final 4 2/3 innings. You retired 10 straight. How pleased were you with the way you handled that adversity and just kept attacking?
Yeah, good. I mean, not every game you're going to have your best stuff. I threw some pretty good breaking balls in the dirt, and they weren't swinging at it for whatever reason. But I think days like that where they're seeing it well and just putting the bat on the ball pretty well, it's definitely more important to just lock in and kind of deal with what you have that day and just get into that attack mentality for sure.
Tyler Glasnow joining us. All right, so I hear what you're saying about it being a long year. You've been a huge part to a great start for the team, but the thinking coming in and around baseball was the AL East was going to be a battle between Boston and New York, and here you guys are in first place. You've got a 5.5-game lead. Again, I understand that it's early, but what's the vibe like around that team right now?
I mean, everyone's clicking. I think depending on who you talk to, like if you were to come and talk to our team in the beginning of the year, I think everyone would say, like, well, I mean, we're going to compete for number one for sure. Like the confidence in our clubhouse is really high right now. Everyone's just kind of playing for one another, and I think that's probably the best formula for a winning team. So, I mean, the overall atmosphere, though, is definitely optimistic, and guys are looking forward to coming to the ballpark every day, and it's just been, like, a lot of fun. The way it's run and just everything about it has been pretty relaxed, and we're all just kind of going out there and just playing for one another.
That's how it's got to be. Tyler Glasnow joining us. Now let's go way back before your days at Hart High School out here in California. In fact, your mother was a college gymnast and a gymnastics coach. Your dad's always getting after it athletically. Your older brother, Ted, was an all-conference decathlete at Notre Dame. It's a really athletic household. What was life like growing up?
I mean, it was just sports all the time. I mean, me and my brother would, like, compete when we were little all the time. He's 2 years older than I am, so he was always kind of pushing me to be better. And we were always just in some sort of sport, though, and always doing something. We weren't a very, like, lazy household. I was never really inside a lot. It was just a lot of kind of outdoor activity and just competition.
It was one of those houses, like, I mean, it's a totally different time, but when I was growing up, my old man would be like, man, get your ass out of the house. Go outside. Like, you can't be in the house, right?
No, I mean, like, especially as I got older in, like, the teenage years, and I was just, like, I kind of got into video games a little bit, and I was, like, big into, like, PC games, and I always just remember my parents, like, what are you doing? Like, why are you in the house right now playing computer games and you should be outside doing stuff? So they were always trying to encourage me to just go out and do stuff. And I was always in sports, so it was pretty hard to just sit around and do nothing. But, I had my balance of both for sure. But it was mostly just going out and doing stuff.
And then you realize it better just to be outside than have to incur the wrath and listen to get outside. So you played at Hart High School, which is a powerhouse program. And as a junior, you were throwing in the mid-80s. And then some colleges start to pay some attention to you. But a lot of them were saying, let's just see what happens. Then you're a senior, and the University of Portland comes around, and they're serious. So what was that time like?
So, yeah, that was actually, like, my junior year. I was throwing, like, mid-80s. You know, there was a couple teams that came and scouted me and were like, hey, let's wait and see how you do your senior year. But University of Portland gave me an offer my junior year, and I was like, all right, I'm just going to sign. Like, I'm not going to – I don't want the pressure of, like, having to do well my senior year. Like, I'm just going to go D1, whatever. Like, that's cool. I'm going to sign to Portland and just have fun my senior year. And then I got, like, a pretty big velo jump, and then a lot of teams were like, what happened? And I already signed my letter and everything, so – I wasn't going to back out of that, so that was probably like the biggest reason that I went pro. But they had a good program, like really good coaches and stuff, but I just think I kind of progressed a bit, and I wanted to go get that like pro ball coaching.
Well, that's what happened your senior year, right? You grow into your body, you get a little more, and you get that velo jump, then you start to get attention from bigger programs, and then all of a sudden you're drafted by the Pirates in the fifth round. What was that experience like?
Yeah, it was insane, man. I heard like rounds 2 to 5, and I was actually, weirdly enough, sleeping during the draft. It was like 11, and I really didn't think too much about it. I was like, I'm not going to worry about it. If it happens, it happens. And then my mom like ran into my room and woke me up, and was like, oh my god, like first round, and she was like freaking out, and it was cool. And I called up some of my friends, and it was just it was a really nice experience. I can still recall pretty vividly, so it was great.
It's a great story. Tyler Glasnow joining us. You know, it's always interesting when you move up to the next level, right? But if you break it down even further, what were you like as a pitcher when you were drafted? For example, at that point, how much weightlifting had you done? How much had you really thought about the details of your mechanics?
I'd say, like, I got pretty serious about it maybe, like, around senior year of high school. I think, like, once the draft and everything was, that's really, like, sparked some, like, a fire under me. And I've always had, like, a really good work ethic, especially since pro ball, and I think the biggest thing I needed to learn was how to work smart, not work hard. I was always like doing something, maybe probably a little too extra, and I started to realize that there's definitely like a formula. There's a nice little balance there. So I think as I got older, that became easier to understand. But as far as what I was like when I first came in, I was just, super gangly, goofy dude that just tried to throw really hard, which, not much has changed, but it's a little bit different. I put a little more muscle on and have obviously more of an idea of what I'm doing now. But, yeah, I look back at those times, and it was definitely some good times, and I've learned a lot from there, so from that time anyway. So it's kind of cool to look back on.
Dude, I don't know about that part about super gangly and super goofy. I've seen that backflip. All right, a standing backflip for anybody is hard enough, but I'd argue for somebody who's listed at 6'8", it should be near impossible. What's the backstory on the backflip? Have you always done that, or is that something you picked up later in life?
So I had a trampoline growing up, and I had like a pretty crazy group of friends that would like come over, and I learned how to do like backflips and stuff on the trampoline. And then one day I went to, I think it was in like 15 or 16 or something. I was in Mexico in the off season, and I was with a bunch of my family and friends, and I was like maybe one or two beers deep, and then I was like, oh, I could probably backflip. And we were in like the ocean, like halfway up, like on my knees, and I tried it and I landed it, and I was like, whoa, if I can do it in the water, I can probably do it on the sand. And then I did it there, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess I know how to do a backflip. So,
dude, how good did that feel? Well, or do you not remember? What was it like when you nailed that thing for the first time?
Hammered or anything. No, it felt good. I mean, it was cool. Like, not very practical. Like, it's not like a big life skill, but it's definitely, it was cool to pull off.
Dude, who was more proud, your mom or your dad? Your mom the gymnastics coach or your dad?
I don't think either of them. I think they were like, how about you stop backflipping?
I see you working. Also, you've been known to play a little online chess. When did that start? How good of a chess player are you?
It started, my mom put me in chess club when I was in elementary school. Like, I think I started in like first or second grade, and I just like found a love for it really, really fast. And I got away from it, obviously, like after elementary school, I didn't play at all. And then I picked it back up. I think it was in 16 when we went to Cincinnati, they had like a chess board in the clubhouse, and my brother plays chess too. And I just played a game, and it kind of like re-sparked the love for it. So it's really just kind of like, I'm not a video game guy. Like, I can't like sit there and play video games for a long time. So chess is kind of like my escape, like in between like shag and stuff like that. And then like when I go home, it's like I kind of just in the morning to just kind of lock in a little bit. But I'm decent. I guess it depends on who you're comparing me to. But like when I lived in New York, I would go to West 4th and like play those guys in the park, and they're a lot better than me. So like on that scale, I'm not that good. But for, I think in terms of like society, maybe I'm like pretty decent.
Dude, what are those guys like in the park? Are they talking junk? Are they totally cerebral? Does nobody say anything? What are those games like?
It's honestly like it's such a different. There's so many different personalities. Like it's almost like a baseball clubhouse. Like there's a lot of them are like homeless and just geniuses, and they just like you have no chance. But some of them are just out there like, and they're all really good. And a lot of them will just like talk smack and like get you to because you have to pay for the games basically. Like it's like $5 a game or whatever you agree to before, and then they usually always beat you. But I've had a couple. I've beaten a few of them a few times. None of like the savants or anything, but. It's just cool. It's like a competition atmosphere, and it's a good way to blow off time. It's also a good way to lose $25 to $30 pretty fast. So
I was going to say, what are the biggest stakes you've played for? And is there like pickup chess? Are there local runs? Is New York chess different than California chess? I mean, shoot, why are we talking baseball? Really this is way better.
I've only really played New York, and that's just always just there's like Central Park you can go play. There's always people there, and then West 4th is like my favorite spot. I lived like close to there in the off season, so. I would just walk over, but it was for me. It was like mostly not about like winning money. Obviously, it was just more so of like learning. And those guys are so good that you can learn. And a lot of them too, like they'll be like, "All right, give me $5 extra and I'll give you like a little lesson." It's definitely a hustle. Like that's all they do for money and stuff. So I mean, it was definitely a good deal. I think you can learn a good amount going and playing against those guys.
Well, you know, it's a hustle, dude. Do these guys know who you are? They're like, "Oh yeah, here comes that best pitcher in the American League right now."
Nah, dude, not at all. This is more so like. Last year too, and then I feel like when we go to New York, like not many people know the Rays players and whatnot. But I just kind of if they ask what I do, I'll tell them. But most of the time, I just kind of I'm just there.
Bro, can we stop talking about this? You're gonna blow my cover. Last thought, like your mom, did your mom put you into that because she thought that would be a good use of your time, or was she already working like the mental aspects of you being an athlete? Like, why did your mom put you into chess in first grade?
Probably just to keep me occupied from right. Doing it was after school, and it was just my brother was into it too, and I kind of just did whatever my brother did, and I don't know, I haven't really talked to her about it. I wonder why she put me in. I don't know like the core reasons behind it, but I would have to say probably just to like she put me in everything. Like I did every sport imaginable. Like I did a bunch of extracurricular stuff, and she was always like she was just a big fan of me. Like I don't know, occupying my time in like a good way as opposed to just kind of doing nothing. So I'm really glad she put me in chess, though. It definitely sparked a love for it.
She sounds awesome. Who's more fierce, moms or pops?
Oh, pops, for sure. Well, okay, that's not true. Like, my dad is probably the silliest, goofiest, happiest person alive. Like, but when it was growing up, obviously, like, he was the enforcer. Like, he's the dude that you're terrified of. And they both were good, though. They're both, like, really strict, and they wanted the best out of us, and I've always had a really good relationship with my parents, and they did a good job with me and my brother, so I'm very thankful for having a good family.
Last thought, I'm trying to let you go, but that's really interesting because I've got two kids now. One's about to go to college, and one's 14, and my wife and I talk about this a lot, and early on when I would bad cop the kids, because that's your job as dad, my wife would say to me, you know, they're going to resent you. I'm like, no, they're going to respect me. So when your dad was tough, and by the way, I was always afraid of my dad too, and I'm better for it now. He never did anything to me, but he didn't have to. Did you resent it or did you always respect it when Pops was tough?
Oh, no. I mean, I loved it. He was never like, he was just scary in his words. Like, I always, especially looking back at it, like, I'm so thankful for it. Like, I'm really glad. Some of the stuff I did, obviously, like if they were just like, well, whatever, like not a big deal. Like, I don't think that would have been the best idea. But I respect my parents more than probably anyone in the world. So looking back on it, they did a lot of things that I'm very thankful for. But, yeah, they're amazing people and parents.
Did a hell of a job, right? You're 4-0, 1.13 ERA, 24 strikeouts on the year. Tampa Bay is in first in the AL East, 14-4, and they're at home against Baltimore. Tyler, really good job. Great to have you on the show. It's a great Jungle debut. I appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
That was fun. Thank you. Tyler Glasnow, really good pitcher. And he is 4-0, leads the Major League in wins and winning percentage. And he said, look, if you had asked us early on, we thought we'd be good. Everybody's focused on the Red Sox and the Yankees. We knew we had something here. And they're out quickly. So my thanks to him and the Rays. I love that notion of pickup chess. He's got some local games in Central Park. He said it's a hustle now. For an extra $5, I'll teach you something. That was great. Okay, we're open now until hour number 3. Brian Burns joins me then, really quickly. Not yet, Albie. This guy, John A. Wilson, tweets, 40-year sales professional, only two jobs in that time, driven 1.8 million miles. Still love every minute. Hashtag, you ain't got what it takes. Yeah, I know, jerk. I admitted it 10 times. Dude, don't come at me like that. I'm giving you nothing but respect. I know it. I know it. It takes a certain breed to be able to sell out in the field. I remember one of my sales managers said to me, she's like, you know what? You're smart. You're motivated, but you don't have that kind of flow. You don't have that kind of rhythm that a salesperson has. You just don't really kind of flow with it. I'm like, you're right. It's all a grind. I can't figure it out. I've tried really hard. So my first two jobs, In-N-Out Burger and sales, failed miserably at both. The only reason I kept my job at In-N-Out, and you know what? I went the other day to an In-N-Out Burger. They start like it, $15 an hour now. I saw a sign in the window like, hey, we're hiring. Starting pay $15 an hour or something? Damn. I made $3.35 an hour back in the day. And I don't believe I ever got a raise when they were giving away lots of raises. Anyway, John A. Wilson, nice job, bro. Way to drive 1.8 million miles in your life. No, I respect it. Dude, I respect it. Notice I'm not dogging sales or bagging on salespeople. I've said this since day one, since I've gotten this radio program. Do you know why I'm so good at radio? Because I was so bad at sales and never wanted to go back.
You can't close. You are
He's talking about me. Except, now I was going to say, except they didn't give me leads. They did. They were terrible leads. I was like one of those old guys on Glengarry Glen Ross. The leads are weak.
The leads are weak.
You're weak.
F***ing leads are weak. You're weak.
Trust me, the leads were weak. The leads were weak.
Hit the bricks, pal.
But then again, they had better leads, but to give them to me would have been a waste. It would have been like throwing them away. Let's see. Drew in West LA. I love chest. In fact, chest day is my favorite. Way better than back day or leg day. Signed, Keith Arnold. Oh, I get it. You're talking about his pepperoni nipples. I get it. No, chest, dummy. Chest, not chest.
Val Kilmer.
Chest. It's played on a board with several different pieces. A pawn, a rook, a bishop, a king, a queen. Check, checkmate, chess, not chest. We're not talking about nips. We're talking about rooks. What's the opposite of elevating the conversation? It's Drew in West LA. And finally, SA Sports Honk on Twitter. Jim, we can't wait for that Chargers-Chiefs big matchup in Mexico City. We're pretty sure that the rides will be safe and ready for play. We're pretty sure the field will be safe and ready for play. Sincerely, hot air balloons, carny rides, and dating OJ's exes. So when we come back, I want to talk about the Rockets and how good they looked. That's coming up next, and I'm looking for a telephone call. I'm getting phone calls. I need a usable phone call, a good phone call, one that might even make it into the smack-off. Warmer weather is finally here, which means it is time for spring cleaning. You could spruce up the house and the yard, but for a truly fresh start, get a Casper mattress. It'll help you wake up feeling refreshed and ready to enjoy this beautiful weather. The Casper mattress combines four layers of pressure-relieving foams for all-night comfort. Softer under your shoulders, firmer under your hips for a healthy alignment and extra support. Plus, the breathable foams are designed to keep you cool all night long. With bedding, bed frames, and now even a dog bed, Casper has everything your whole family needs for a guaranteed great night of sleep. All mattress orders also have free shipping and free returns, so you can try your Casper out in your own home for 100 nights risk-free. You will love sleeping on a Casper. Go to Casper.com. Use my code, ROME. Get $100 off towards the purchase of select mattresses. I sleep on one. I have for years. I love it. Casper.com, code ROME. Get $100 off towards the purchase of select mattresses. Additional fees may apply for Alaska and Hawaii. Terms and conditions do apply.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Today's Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. And I haven't said it for a long time. I'm not this guy. The guy that I'm not. I'm not a sales rep for sure. I was not good at that. I made that pretty clear. The guy that I'm also not, though, is, hey, man, how you doing? It's Friday. Yeah, I know what day it is. I said, how are you? I didn't say what day is it. So if you're somebody who answers that question with, it's Friday, then if I ask you how you are on Monday, then that's going to be your response. It's Monday. It's a tough way to go through life. The reason that I mention it's Thursday is because tomorrow is Friday, which means the flight deck, James Kelly, will be in the house. But he didn't wait till Friday to hit me up and let me know what his thoughts are on tonight's NBA matchups. That's code for the big heads getting down. You should follow him on Twitter. He might give you some tips. At James4Kelly. Kelly with an E at James4Kelly. I can't tell him what to do with his feed. I don't really tell any of my guys what to do with their Twitter feeds. It's not even a lock that I'll follow them on Twitter. And if I do follow anybody on my staff on Twitter, they're generally muted. I'm trying to figure out a way to mute them in the office. Like our personal interactions. Except Alvy, who I want more from, and the flight deck. Who's coming in tomorrow?
Jester's dead.
So the flight deck, Jester is dead. The flight deck's got lots of takes on the matchups tonight. And then you've got the Rockets and how they looked yesterday. If you want to talk about either of our first two guests, go ahead and do it. Both were great. Lincoln Riley. You know, for Lincoln Riley to follow up Bob Stoops, in and of itself, that's a near impossible thing. Stoops was an OU legend. Lincoln Riley was a really well thought of assistant. A lot of these young assistants come with a lot of hype. None of them ever live up to it, especially when you step into that situation, following a legend at a legendary program. And Riley steps in like he'd been there 20 years. Not only stepped in and maintained, but stepped in and built upon. And not only built upon, but built upon quickly with a Heisman Trophy winner and then another Heisman Trophy winner. And conference titles, conference coach of the year. A berth in the playoff. It's amazing what this guy's done. Like, I would say if I were an NFL franchise, and there's so much talk about Sean McVay, everybody's looking for the next Sean McVay. Arizona may think that they hired the next Sean McVay in Cliff Kingsbury. I'm going to still say there is no next Sean McVay. He's a really unique guy. But if I were an NFL franchise, I would go to Lincoln Riley with a blank check. And I would do it right now. Except from Oklahoma's standpoint, I'd argue that there are not many NFL jobs that are better than the job he has right now. Better than the opportunity he has right now. That phone's going to ring every single year for him. But if I'm Lincoln Riley and I look at what I have in Oklahoma, there's a really small percentage of NFL jobs that are better than the college job he has right now. But that's how highly I think of him. And Tyler Glasnow, God, that was great. This guy's going into Central Park and playing chess? Like local chess runs. Pick up chess. And he said straight hustle. A lot of those guys have no money whatsoever. That's how they make their money, playing chess. So they're in it to win it, and they're willing to share some of their secrets, but you got to pay for it. And again, if you haven't seen it, that's a 6'8" guy that can do a standing flip, backflip. Hey, Rome, the Raiders have 7 consecutive weeks on the road this season. I haven't seen that much road since I wrecked my hog a few years back. Signed, B. Petrino's face. Chad in Orlando, that's the kind of reach to do with anything. That's a reach. You can't just jam that into the conversation. That's not a part of the conversation. I know that's one of your favorite stories. The dude left half his face on the pavement and then showed up at a presser with half his face missing. But it's neither here nor there. It's got nothing to do with anything. You can't just wedge that stuff into the conversation. Dear Jim, you went door to door trying to close. I went door to door with no clothes. Yours, Robo QB. Brett from Bugahaw wore this email being my swing feels good moment. Let me know when I can start as podcast co-host. I can let you know that, bro. You know when? Never. Well, that's really good stuff there. Really good stuff. A robo coach going door to door naked reset. Yeah, bro, that's not going to get you a podcast. In a day and age when everybody has a podcast, Brett, you will never have one. At least not one that matters. Because your takes are crap. The only thing going for you is the guys on the other side of the glass cannot decipher between a good take or a bad take, or they wouldn't bring me your crap, Brett. If I changed out those guys, you would never see the light of day. Todd Marinovich also has not been a topic. And the fact that you're trying to make this guy a topic when he's now a middle-aged guy, still battling a drug problem, who's been arrested, who's trying to get his life straight, he's trying to get squared away, he's trying to make it work, had a very unfortunate incident in Irvine, and the fact that you're trying to make that a thing is also not good content. Let me tell you something, bro. How old were you when you first had birthday cake? How old were you when you had your first Big Mac? When you were a kid way back in the day when nobody was doing anything like this, did your parents bag up lean protein and make you take that to birthday parties when all the other kids were eating cake? Were you powerlifting and doing clean and jerks at the age of 6 months? No. No. Were you doing full-on SEAL team training at six? Were you in the ocean? Were you lifting those logs? No. So maybe you don't judge, jerk. God, do I have to keep all you straight? I'm trying to do a radio program here. I'm trying to be a positive influence. Yeah, see, that's just me. I'm always one of those glasses half full, extremely positive, optimistic people. But a lot of you just want to bring people down. I'm not here for that. I'm not here for it. 1-800-636-8686. Did your dad make you gnaw on frozen kidney chunks when you were 3 months old? No. But Toddy M had to do a lot of those things. And it worked for a while. Like a lot of that, it works for a while. First round draft pick. Played for the Raiders, did pretty well at USC, but, and I'm not inside his head, but I've read enough to know there was a simmering resentment there. In fact, I'm not going to put it all on his old man. You know, how many times have you seen this? You've got kids that have pretty good upbringings that turn out to be absolute garbage as adults. And then you've had kids that had the most horrific upbringing imaginable, and they turn out to be legends and leaders. You never really know. But I would imagine that upbringing may have had something to do with the way he ended up. Maybe. Maybe. But then he's got to own his choices too. I'm just saying, why are you making light of a guy who's knocking on doors naked? Anyway. Also, I want to get into Trent Dilfer. He's episode 77 of the Jim Rome podcast. I meant to get into it yesterday. I got too busy. I want to hit that. The smack off is June 21st. I've got a stack of golden tickets. I would love to give one away. I'm not getting ahead of myself. I'm not trying to give away 20 of these things. I want to give away one. Just one. And once I give away one, then I'll think about giving away a second one. Coming up next hour, too, Brian Burns, an NFL draft prospect. When we come back, we dodged a bullet. But that bullet's going to find us. We live to fight another day. But in the end, we're going to get knocked the hell out. I'll tell you what I mean by that when we return, but here is a sports update. Jay Berman starts his shift.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This is, in fact, Jim Rome, star of the Jim Rome Show. What's up? Dawn to Dusk by Brickhouse Nutrition is physician formulated to give you 10 hours of clean energy, heightened focus, and improved mood without the jitters or crashing associated with coffee or energy drinks. You want to go to Brickhouse, Rome.com. You get 15% off your first order with the offer code Rome. I use it. It's awesome. Brickhouse, Rome.com. Get 15% off. Just try it. Brickhouse, Rome.com. You'll see exactly what I mean. Yesterday was a wild day. Like this crazy roller coaster. And I'm not talking about the NFL schedule release. I'm talking about the Bob Kraft video release. Here's a mini refresher. Bob Kraft is the owner of the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots are a very successful football team. For reasons still unclear, Bob Kraft is accused of visiting sex workers in a strip mall in Florida and allegedly paying them for sexual acts. Now, I don't know if you've heard about this, but to make matters even worse, apparently the authorities have video of said sex acts. There is existing video. And if that's not horrific enough, the phrase manipulating his genitals has been used to describe what goes down in that video. Other words that have been used to describe what goes down in that video include, quote, explicit, sexual, and graphic, quote, pretty ugly, quote. Again, and just in case you tuned in late, this is Bob Kraft, a guy who's going to celebrate his 78th birthday in a few weeks, going to a strip mall, allegedly, paying a sex worker, allegedly, for a sex act, allegedly, on the day before the AFC Championship game, allegedly, and on the day of the AFC Championship game, allegedly, and being caught on video, allegedly, with his 78-year-old junk being manipulated. So what that video is right now for the rest of us is like the shark from Jaws. You know it's out there. You know it's out there. You're in the water. You can see the fin above the water in the distance. It's getting closer and closer and closer. You're frantically trying to get the hell out of the water. You're swimming as fast as you can, but the shark is swimming faster, closer, 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 closer. You can see it. It's Kraft's junk. It's coming to kill you. It's Jaws, the shark. Like, we all have these nightmares. Haven't you had that nightmare of the worst way to die? Or you've had that conversation. Like, what's the worst imaginable way that you could die? None of us have our choice of how we leave, but what's the worst way to go? You know, somebody pushing you out of an airplane at 30,000 feet, somebody lighting you on fire, being eaten by a shark, seeing a 78-year-old's junk manipulated. And that's the thing, because the judge, a judge may have bought Kraft, and more importantly, me, some more additional time, but you know, it's only a matter of time before that video surfaces. And countless millions of you dopes are going to watch it, lose your minds, and try to wreck my program and my life. No names mentioned. I'm looking right at you, Trevor Price.
That comes out? I mean, holy hell, man. If that hits the interwebs, good night. Good night.
Trevor, does that mean that if that leaks, you're not going to watch it, or you are?
Oh, I'm in line. I am in line. Tell my wife, move over, let me get a look. That video is going to hit the interwebs. It's going to hit any day now. Like, somebody has a copy of it. Somebody has some of that grainy footage on their cell phone. And they're just sitting around waiting for the right bid. And when that shit's... wow. That's the magic moment we're all waiting for.
Hey, Trevor. You ever ask yourself why Alvin DeLauro has more followers on Twitter than you do? Because it takes like that, brah. I'm just kidding, Trevor. You do have two more Super Bowl rings than Alvin. But Alvin's got like 2,000 more followers than you, Trevor. Dude, why do you not have a verified blue check? You have more followers than a guy who won two Super Bowls. Somebody get Alvin a check. A verified blue check. He won a high school championship, state championship as a point guard, and he's got more followers than a two-time Super Bowl champ who runs companies.
Move over, let me get a look.
We all know this. We all know that that craft porno is going to drop. It's kind of like how horror movies go. Except in this case, the horror movie is the movie about Bob Kraft. Like, think of the scariest movie you've ever seen. Are you into scary movies? Think of the really scary movies, like The Exorcist, The Shining, Psycho, the Saw franchise, Get Out. Yeah, well, this flick is all of those flicks rolled into one. The Bob Kraft porno. And for a brief horrifying moment yesterday, it appeared that flick was going to drop any second. Because there was an emergency hearing in the case to discuss that very issue. And according to the Palm Beach Post, Assistant State Attorney Lee Miller filed a motion that argued that unless there is a court order barring the release of that video, prosecutors will release the video. And not only would they release that video, but they were obligated by state law to drop that video. She argued that under Chapter 119, Sunshine Laws, the prosecutors in the case, quote, as the custodian of the records, cannot delay the release of records to allow a person to raise a constitutional challenge to the release of the document, end quote. And quoted, cited Sunshine Law. Man, that's rich as hell. There is nothing sunny about a 77-year-old and his junk hitting the internet and becoming the most viewed porn of all time. Sunshine Law, my ass. That porno hits the internet, and I can all but promise the sun will never rise ever again. I don't know about you, but I didn't even finish reading that report before I started to collect canned food and bottled water, and I headed for my bunker. Because the moment that video does drop, all hell is going to break loose. And it's going to be a very ugly hell. And I, for one, am not going to be here for it. But then something happened. Judge Joseph Marks ruled that the video could not come out. So we got ourselves an April miracle. A straight legend and a hero in Judge Joe Marks. Yes, a miracle. My man lit that porno on fire. It'll never drop. We'll never see it. It will never see the light of day. We've been spared. Legend. Hero. I know that word gets thrown around a lot, way too lightly. This cat is a legend and a hero. Until I saw that the ruling is temporary. It's only good until April 29th. So my man didn't spare us, Jack. In fact, he made it worse because he prolonged the inevitable. It makes the whole thing that much more agonizing. It makes the swim to the beach even longer. The shark is there. It's going to eat us alive. We're going to be alive when that shark eats us. Like Kraft. Kraft's attorneys can talk all they want about how releasing the video is going to inflict, quote, irreparable harm to Kraft and his chances for a fair trial. To which I say, I don't give a damn about Kraft. He should have thought of all of that before he turned 77 and went to a seedy strip mall and paid for sex the day before the AFC Championship game and the day of the AFC Championship game. Allegedly, allegedly, allegedly. Man, that's all on him. But he did it, allegedly. And because of all of that, when that tape drops, I can't keep you losers from watching it. And you can't make yourself unsee it. And I can't keep you from trying to wreck what I have built for the past 30 years. After what I did for the past 30 years, I'm looking at 20 years of Bob Kraft porno recess. get right down to it. 77-year-old Bob Kraft getting down was not the worst thing that ever happened to him. It's the worst thing that ever happened to me. That old man was thinking about himself and old man junk and not the rest of us. And now he's not the one with a shattered life. I am. It's coming. We got a stay of execution.